And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, David Morris returns, the Executive Director for the American Heart Association Delaware. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, Laura. It's great to talk to you today.
Seems like we've been talking a lot lately. Just about six months ago, of course, I wanted you on because I'd experienced a cardiac arrest. And I really wanted you to come in and we could chat about it because I attributed my survival to the American Heart Association and our conversations. And of course, now we're all talking about heart conditions and we're talking about cardiac arrest because, of course, that poor Bills player, Damar Hamlin, on the field. And one of the things that was so remarkable about it, that and the one area you can really praise the NFL, was that they knew what to do and they had a plan and they jumped into action immediately.
Yeah, 100%. It's so, you know, it's sort of strange to say, not that he was lucky to go into cardiac arrest, you know, on the football field, because it was likely a freak occurrence of like almost one in a million, you know, of his heart, of him going into cardiac arrest, you know, and obviously the hit is what caused that. But the fact that it happened somewhere where there were medical professionals ready to act right away and start performing hands-only CPR, and they had an AED handy to utilize to bring him back to life. And, you know, they kept the blood flowing to his brain on the football field. And it was really fortunate where it happened and that there were people ready to act so quickly. Saved his life.
Well, you've always told me that if you have a cardiac arrest outside of the hospital, the odds are overwhelmingly against you either surviving or surviving intact. So I did mine on the emergency room floor. He was lucky he had professionals around him. But the one lesson we can take from this, too, is you use the term medical professionals. Anyone can save a life.
This is true. Yes. Good point, Laura. You know, we don't have to be a medical professional. And like you said, I mean, you're sort of one of the rare ones, right? You know, we estimate less than 10% of cardiac arrest actually happens in a hospital setting. You know, up to 90%+ of cardiac arrest happens outside of a hospital. You know, it's at the mall, it's in a park, it's in the home a lot of times. And the one silver lining of this, you know, awful incident with Damar Hamlin is that the fact that so much attention now is being paid to what those medical professionals did on the field to save his life. And so many millions of Americans are learning hands-only CPR now in light of this. So I think, you know, it honestly is a true silver lining of this incident that so many people are now turning into lifesavers in our community. It's really great, actually.
Well, let's start off. Let's back it up and talk about the difference between a heart attack and cardiac arrest. We always talk about the symptoms of heart attack and getting yourself to the hospital, but cardiac arrest is a different situation.
It is, yeah. And that's another thing, you know, people often think, you know, these things are the same, cardiac arrest and a heart attack, but actually they are quite different. So a heart attack is an actual circulation problem within the heart. So it could be perfect example, the most common is like a blocked artery. That would be a case of a heart attack. You can have a heart attack, not that we want people to do this, but people can have a heart attack for a while. You know, you can be having a heart attack for hours. You know, I know one, please do not do this at home, but one gentleman had a heart attack in Ukraine overseas and flew to the United States, and he should have died on that flight because honestly, he very likely could have gone into cardiac arrest on the flight. So cardiac arrest is actually the heart's electrical system malfunctioning and the heart stops beating. And you think, you know, which is worse of these? Cardiac arrest definitely is much more fatal. You can be having a heart attack, and a lot of folks that have a heart attack, they don't get to the right treatment in time. They can go into cardiac arrest. And this is where the blood stops flowing through the body and most importantly to the brain. And that's where the most damage can occur. So, like, for example, Monday night, the medical professionals on the field recognized that Damar Hamlin was in cardiac arrest laying on the field, and they started to perform hands-only CPR on him and ultimately used an AED that shocked his heart back to life. But they estimated nearly 9 minutes they were manually keeping his heart pumping blood through his body while he was in cardiac arrest. And the reports as of today, we're recording Friday morning, are that he seems to be making an excellent recovery, and those folks saved his life. It's We watched that on TV. It's crazy.
But the most important thing is they saved his brain.
Right.
They saved his brain because you can survive these things and you never get your life back the way it was.
Right. And you and I talked a lot in the past about, even strokes, right? We're the American Stroke Association as well, and a lot of times, stroke is a blockage of blood to certain areas of the brain. And cardiac arrest, very similar in that, the blood is not flowing through your vascular system to the brain. So that's why we really want everyone out there, and I know we're talking on the radio today here, and we're in an audio format, but we want everyone to know what they need to do in the case of sudden cardiac arrest. And this is great. This is important, and thanks for doing this.
Well, I think the first thing we have to discuss is having a plan. Also, before knowing when this is happening, if someone is talking, it's probably a heart attack. If they're lying there unresponsive, think cardiac arrest.
That's correct. Yes. And you had mentioned, we had talked a little bit about this just a few minutes ago, that such a high percentage of cardiac arrest happens outside of a hospital setting. And it can be very scary. But the thing that we need to think about is, okay, what are the exact steps that we need to do in order to not only get the right professionals there for help, but also what we can do while we're waiting for them in the interim, how they can come and help save a life.
And that is part of the plan. Want to get started? What should we do? What's the first thing? And let's also talk about cardiac arrest. Are there any hints, symptoms, signs that it could happen? Mine, we discussed on a previous episode, never was diagnosed. They never figured out what the heck happened to me. So mine's total mystery. With Damar Hamlin, they are assuming, of course, that that ball hit him. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The player hit him at just the right moment between his heartbeats, and that mucked up his electrical system and caused his cardiac arrest. But for Joe Schmo or Jane Doe walking down the street, unlike a heart attack, are there any precursors?
Yeah, well, it is actually similar to a heart attack, but a lot of times it just comes on. You don't know, and I don't mean to scare people out there. Our numbers estimate about 350,000 or so people experience cardiac arrest in the United States every year outside of a hospital setting. So it's a low percentage, everyone. I hope you understand that. I don't want people walking around thinking, oh my goodness, my next step, I'm going to go into cardiac arrest. I mean, a lot of times it is tied to heart and vascular issues, that are already there. Those of us with high blood pressure, extremely high cholesterol, that aren't taking care of our bodies, let's say, sure, we're at a higher risk for cardiovascular disease, which can ultimately lead to cardiac arrest. But please, everyone out there, don't be thinking, I'm going to be just like Damar Hamlin tonight and go into sudden cardiac arrest. I mean, it happens, but it is a low percentage of the population. The big thing that we want people to recognize are the warning signs of a heart attack, and be aware of those. And we've talked about this before. They're different in men and women, but it's pain in the chest, nausea, especially for women, pain in the arm, jaw pain, pain in the back, back pain, profuse sweating. These are the things that we need to look for and be aware of, and tell others if we feel like we're experiencing those, because then we need to get help, right? If we're experiencing those warning signs of a heart attack, that's when cardiac arrest can follow. There are rare occasions it just happens, sometimes in the night. It's very, very rare, but it does happen. So, we want everyone out there to recognize what is going on and what those differences are, so how they can help.
Well, obviously, injury can cause cardiac arrest. Electric shock can cause cardiac arrest. There are various things. And again, that heart attack that was ignored and then over you go, that could lead to cardiac arrest. So, and that's when one needs to use the CPR. If somebody is,
Right.
again, responsive and walking around, or at least yelling, "Hey, I'm sick, I'm having a heart attack," you don't need to wrestle them down and start beating on their chest. So when do we need that plan and to jump into action?
Sure. So that's a really great question. And I think it's interesting, you had mentioned accidents and certain, let's say industries can cause sudden cardiac arrest, right? Like you mentioned, if you're electrocuted. And I think the one great thing in a lot of my conversations here in Delaware and around the Delaware Valley is a lot of the industries that can, are at a higher risk for something to cause a cardiac arrest. A lot of those industries are already annually training their employees in hands-only CPR and how to act and having AEDs on site, which is great, right? So that's really good that they're prepared for that. But if you or I, or let's say, Laura, you and me are out at the mall one day, right? And we see someone go down, right? And they just collapse, similar to what we saw with Damar Hamlin. There's a couple of things that we want to do right out of the gate, okay? So the first thing, and it's good that there are two of us there. The first thing we always want to do is you always want to check to, and I know this is an audio medium, but people, you can take some tips from this. Okay, what to do in the case of an emergency, or if you're at home even, right? So first things first, you check to make sure the area is clear, right? You want to make sure you're not in any danger if you're assisting the patient. Example, maybe somebody's laying on a highway, right? We want to make sure that everything is safe and we can, if possible, get them to a safe area to help them. The next thing we want to do is we want to check for responsiveness, right? So you want to sort of pound on their shoulders, shake them a little bit, try to make sure to see if they are in fact responsive. Because like you said before, Laura, if they're talking to you, they're not in cardiac arrest, right? So that's number two. We want to check for responsiveness. But then also we need to call 911. So let's say in our example of you and me at the mall, I'm going to jump into action. I'm checking for responsiveness. You're going to pull out your cell phone and you're going to put it on speaker and call 911. Okay. The next thing, because the 911 operators all in this area actually are trained in how to talk you through hands-only CPR. We're one of the only states in the nation that does that, which I think is great for us here in Delaware. So you're going to call 911, you're putting it on speaker. I'm going to point at somebody else that's there and say, go find an AED right now. Okay. So you have 911 on the phone. I'm checking for responsiveness. We have another person who's running out and getting the AED. If you're all alone and you're at home and you don't have an AED handy, that's okay, right? That's fine. We can still jump into action. And we still ourselves want to put the phone on speaker right next to us and call 911 and talk to them while we're assisting the patient. So you're with me so far, Laura?
Yep, we're up to four
Good.
steps.
Great. And I think the good thing about what we're talking about today and all this awareness around this is that people are learning about what the AEDs do too. And I think, I know after you and I have talked and we've done some CPR training together before, you and me, we always, I don't know about you, Laura, but I'm always on the lookout for like where that AED is wherever I'm at, right? I think so. Anyway, so okay. So we have somebody going to get our AED. We've got 911 on the line. We're checking for responsiveness. Okay, they're not responsive. So now what we want to do is we want to begin our compressions. And I want to just mention two real quick things here. So There's a couple of misconceptions that are still out there about CPR and helping a cardiac arrest victim. Number one is we don't recommend breaths anymore. That's not a thing. It's not like the CPR that you see on TV, okay? We found,
Emergency.
right, the American Heart Association, our studies have found that survival rates really don't change when you're doing the breaths. So we don't recommend the breaths anymore. That's misconception number one. Number two, there is there is something called the Good Samaritan Law, okay? And a lot of times people don't want to jump into action because they might think, oh, if I hurt this person, I'm going to get sued. And that is not the case at all. You are protected when you're trying to save somebody's life like this. You're protected. And you and I have done the CPR training before. You know we got to push hard and fast, right? So that can be a concern for people, right? I will say the one time that we do still recommend breaths is with a drowning victim. So if you're at the beach or at a pool and somebody has drowned, the breath, we do recommend tilting their head back and doing the breath. That's a little, hopefully there's a lifeguard around that can do this, but we do recommend the breaths periodically to help clear the airway there, but in a regular, most cardiac arrest victims, it's not necessary at all. Okay. So we got 911 on the phone telling them where we're at. They're helping walk us through. Now I'm going to interlock my hands. Okay. Make sure that the victim is on a flat, hard surface. So, one other tip for everybody out there, if you are at home, and somebody goes into cardiac arrest and they are in a bed, if possible, we want you to pull the victim onto the floor, because when you're doing the compressions, as you and I know, Laura, you have to do them really hard, right? If you're pushing down on a bed, it can sink down and actually absorb that pressure, because we are going to keep that heart pumping as best as we can. Okay?
Got
So
it.
then we go ahead. So we've got our victim on the ground. We're going to begin compressions. We interlock our hands and we put our hands, our palm, right in the middle of the victim's chest. And we need to push hard and fast. Okay? Harder than you think, right? You are keeping their heart pumping here. You're keeping blood going to their brain. So we want to go hard and fast, anywhere from 100 to 120 beats a minute. There's a million songs out there you can sing in your head. The most popular one is Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. You know, this song is perfect. You want to pump with that beat and you want to continue those compressions until your AED arrives, if one does, right? What we do is these could be people get a little overwhelmed by the AED, but it is the most simple machine ever. Okay, so your buddy opens up the AED for us and turns it on. This thing literally tells you everything to do. Okay, so you with me so far?
Yeah, I love the AED.
Oh my gosh, these things are amazing, the technology. So it will speak to you and literally tell you where to place the pads on the person's chest. And it will actually, once you do that, it will check for a pulse to see if that electrical system in the heart has been jump-started and if it's going. If not, it will say charging and then it will say stand clear. You don't want to touch the victim when it's shocking them, okay? It will shock them. And then, if necessary, if the heartbeat doesn't resume, it will say resume compressions. So that's when you want to go back to your staying alive and your pump in the middle of their chest, right? While we're waiting for the EMTs to arrive. It'll then tell you when to stop if it wants to do another round of the shock to try to bring their heart back. And this is exactly what happened on the field on Monday night and how they brought Damar Hamlin's heart back to life. But I will tell you that even if you don't have the AED, that is okay. If you're at home, you're helping keep their blood flowing. You know, I've heard of someone doing hands-only CPR as much as 15 or 20 minutes on a spouse waiting for the EMTs to arrive, and that person actually has made a full recovery and is 100% okay, no AED or anything. So this is why this is so important for us, right?
That's talking about my neighbors. He kept his husband alive for 15, 20 minutes until the EMTs arrived. And we had a full recovery out of that. And the doctors were amazed because, as you said, 90% of those out of the hospital cardiac arrests don't end this way.
Did they call 911 and like had them on speaker or whatever while doing the compressions
the
for 15
whole,
plus minutes?
Whole nine yards. Knew what to do.
That's
do
amazing.
And followed through. And a complete recovery thanks to that. And it was an amazing thing. And it was months of recovery, but a full recovery. And only because he knew what to do and did it. And here's something that's a terrible fact. And we talked about this before we began this morning taping. Women are less likely to receive CPR outside the hospital. Low-income people are less likely to receive CPR. People of color, Hispanics. And is this that the message isn't, that the training isn't getting in there? Or in the case of women, they don't want to touch a woman? What's going on here? And talk about, now we never did talk about the American Heart Association's message and your education programs.
Yeah, so thanks for mentioning that. Yes, you are correct. Some of our studies have shown that women are up to three times less likely to receive hands-only CPR from a bystander. And I truly hope that all these discussions this week and hopefully for the next several weeks and months even, you know, are about, you know, everyone needs our assistance. And I think you might be onto something there with the touching thing. You know, people might be afraid to touch a woman. You know, you're right. I think it's maybe a lack of education and training, you know, in some of our poorer communities and things like that. But, you know, it's our hope that, you know, here in Delaware, we get a lot of stuff done. It's really our hope that all 1 million, close to 1 million Delawareans know what to do and know how to act. The last thing I just want to mention real quick, when we're doing the hands-only CPR, it can be tiring. You know, your neighbor, that instance of the 15 plus minutes is like, that person is a warrior and remarkable because they were able to keep it going. It can be tiring. You're pushing hard and fast for that long. You know, if possible, tag out with somebody. And I believe that's what happened on the field Monday night too. You know, 9 minutes is a long time for them. And I think that they had tagged out a couple of times while performing that hands-only CPR. So if possible, you can tag out. But if not, just try your best and keep that heart going as long as you can. Yeah.
Now, they had a plan. They knew what to do. Yet it still took them that long to get that AED, which they had and knew where it was to get that thing out there and use it on him. For a lot of us, there is no AED around, or we have no clue where it is. We go to a mall, and this maybe three levels or two levels, and I wouldn't have a clue where to even start. And today, you can't find security or anybody around to help you find things.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of schools and playing fields, I know, are putting them out there. And that's mainly because of the work of organizations like the American Heart Association. But for a lot of us, there's no AED close by, and it is going to be a tag team effort. So I know that part of this is you're trying to get more AEDs out there in the communities, but also getting more of us actually trained to know what the heck we're supposed to do.
Yeah. So, and you know, the one thing people for a very long time thought, oh, I need to be certified in CPR. Certification is great. Especially for medical professionals. However, for those of us in the community, you know, really it's about knowing what to do. The certification thing can even be a little bit of a barrier at times. So we want just folks to know exactly what to do. So I would say, you know, if folks want to actually sort of see it very quickly, it doesn't take a long time. You can visit heart.org, and there are so many great free resources on there, something you can even share with your colleagues or in company newsletters or with your friends and family. In fact, we have a few videos that are just a minute or two long that go through these steps that me and Laura just talked about that you can actually learn what to do and show to your family. It is completely free, super easy. We just want folks to know what to do, how to jump into action if they experience this in the community.
And of course, when we go to heart.org, we also find out how we can keep ourselves a little bit healthier. Well, actually, a lot more healthier to try and preclude having that stroke or that heart attack, or at least putting them off or knowing our risks. So here's where, do you want to do the plug for the American Heart Association?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, please, everyone, visit, as Laura mentioned, heart.org is a wonderful site. Also, if you're interested in connecting with us on a local level here, you can visit heart.org/Delaware or follow us on any of the social media platforms at AHA Delaware. But really, I urge everyone to go on to heart.org, learn a little bit more about your own personal heart health and your own heart journey, how you can connect with your entire family, get the kids involved, you know, what type of exercise, you know, guidelines we have. A lot of people are making those New Year's resolutions, trying to get back on those treadmills or outside there, get moving. Lots of great healthy recipes, my life check, which can really score what your heart score, how you look, how you're living right now. So lots of great stuff on there, including the CPR resources that we talked about today, and lots of great stuff you can share with your friends, family, colleagues, everybody. I just love that we're getting the word out there, and I appreciate you, Laura, for helping us do this.
Well, poor Mr. Hamlin, I sure hope that it's more than toy drives that he will start advocating for when he is released, when, you know, God willing, that he comes through this totally unscathed. And if we do want to connect with you, you're always looking for volunteers. You're always looking for community groups that want to get involved with the message, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. So just connect with us on at heart.org/Delaware or visit us on any of the social media platforms. All of our information's there. We just love to hear from folks. Love to see everybody out there in the community. You know, a big initiative for us, you know, our Delaware is one of the first states in the nation to require hands-only CPR training as a requirement for graduation. We're always looking for support to help provide all the schools in Delaware with the kits and the training they need. You know, one of my favorite stories from the last year was providing a CPR in schools training kit to a local high school and meeting with the athletic director and him saying that he was going to train all of his coaches and players using the kit to know what to do. And I thought about them on Monday night watching the game thinking, you know, these fellow players here at the local Delaware High School would be able to jump into action themselves and know what to do in the event of a cardiac arrest on the field. So it's really great to see all the support and everything we're doing here in Delaware.
And of course, we are approaching the Go Red. You got a lot of events coming up in the coming months, and all of that can be found at heart.org as well.
That is correct. Yep, heart.org/Delaware. Our next up, we have our Heart and Stroke Ball, which will take place April 14th at the Hyatt Place Dewey Beach. Come join us. That's a super fun, swanky event. And then that's followed up by our Go Red for Women and our STEM Goes Red events in early May too, so you can get all that information on our website. So hope to see everybody there. And Laura, I just want to say thank you. You're such a great champion for heart and brain health in the state of Delaware, and your colleagues and everyone. You guys are so wonderful and help us get the word out there about what to do in case of emergency and how to live healthier lives. You're helping us fight the fight.
Well,
I appreciate you.
Well, as I always said, I credit you with saving my life. And weren't you the first call I made when I got
you? Well, I hope you called your family first, but that's nice.
I haven't told them yet what happened. So, yeah, they don't need to know. But again, and you said a great word in there. You said the STEM word, and there's no age that's too young to get this message. And you've got messaging out there for every age group, for anybody. And it's all there at heart.org/Delaware. My guest today, the executive director for the American Heart Association of Delaware, David Morris. Dave, thank you for being on today.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura. I appreciate you.
And best wishes, of course, for Mr. Hamlin and for everyone who hears this, heart healthy in 2023. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.